Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
An audio engineer knows which gear there is.
You need to run your source through the DNS 1500 first.
This always did feel like one of those shows that would go for a while.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
And away we KGO go, live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGORadio.com. Remember Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas with Johnny Depp, a.k.a. Hunter S. Thompson?
We had 2 bags of grass, 75 pellets of mescaline, 5 sheets of high-powered blotter acid, a salt shaker half full of cocaine, a whole galaxy of multicolored uppers, downers, screamers, laughers, also a quarter tequila, quarter rum, case of beer, pint of raw ether, 2 dozen amyls.
Fear and Loathing, and we go to Fear and Clothing. Yes, unbuckling American style, and my guest is Centra Wilson. Centra, thank you very much for joining me.
It is my great pleasure to be here. Hi.
I don't know if you've ever got that Fear and Loathing opening when you did a radio show before.
But I'm thrilled by it.
Oh, well, wonderful.
Yeah, I hope it happens forever.
You know, it's so funny, that movie. I had a friend who would just get stoned all the time and just watch it over and over and over. I'm like, dude, seriously, I mean, how high do you have to be?
Oh, but yeah. The book is really where the action is. I mean, those are the words that corrupted me in eighth grade, pretty much. I mean, Hunter S. Thompson really, really could write.
Well, this is great, and so can you. So, Fear and Clothing, Unbuckling American Style. So, I called you a fashionista. Is that fair?
More or less, yeah. I mean, I'm basically a culture critic, and then I worked for the New York Times for a while, and so I was sort of looking at the rest of American culture through the lens of fashion.
Ooh. And you're from San Francisco. You moved from San Francisco to L.A. to New York, right?
That's right. Yeah. So, I grew up most of my life in San Francisco.
Okay, well, let's talk about fashion. I mean, you know, do you think the Bay is different? Well, it's obviously different than Los Angeles, but how does it compare to New York or other cities?
Well, you know, I mean, San Francisco's changed a great deal. I moved out of San Francisco in 1994 and moved to L.A. for a year, and then I've lived the rest of my life in New York. And I ended up talking a lot at Liquic last night about San Francisco in the early 80s, which I think was a really special kind of magical time for subcultural fashion in San Francisco. I mean, it was sort of the late end of the punk movement, but just the beginning of sort of British club kid inspired movement in nightclubs that was really emphasized originality and finding things in thrift stores that looked crazy and making them cool.
Well, from that era, isn't it true that all of those things are kind of resurging once again?
You mean from the 80s?
Yeah, well, yes, I suppose so.
I mean, you know, it's funny because fashion always recycles itself.
Right.
At some point. And it's the interesting thing about right now, and a lot of, you know, fashion intellectuals and historians have been talking about this, is how fashion really hasn't changed very much in the last 30 years ostensibly, because it used to be that every decade was definable by a certain look. Like the 70s had big bell bottoms,
right.
And then the 80s had huge shoulder pads and hated everything about the 70s. Like there was no more tight clothes, and one decade tended to abhor the previous decade. But now all the decades are sort of mashed up into one thing. I mean, fashion is kind of atomized so that no matter what you dress like, you can kind of dress in any era of any time now, and it's fine.
Well, that's a good thing. You know, I wondered, and this is a breaking story today, that Abercrombie is just closing tons of stores.
Really?
Is that a good thing?
Well, I mean, it's a
Hollister.
It's a
I mean, should they just keep their Hollister
about,
brand?
You know, if you have a store that expands as much as somebody like Abercrombie & Fitch, I mean, where it had its real vogue, I guess, you know, probably 10 years ago, And then, you know, the Gap sort of did the same thing. If you think about it, it got really ubiquitous. Starbucks did the same thing, too. I mean, there was, you know, two on every corner until it kind of reached a saturation point and then rolled backward.
I know. There's a crazy thing going on. So Abercrombie, they just did this brand name thing going on, and it was by the American Customer Satisfaction Index. And Abercrombie and Fitch, they rated number one as the most disliked store. I don't know if it's because we were all part of the Abercrombie Nation during the 90s, where the whole country was homogenized and felt like they had to wear that stuff.
You know, that's really what happens with fashion, is that anything that was too beloved in one decade gets reviled in the next decade, pretty much. I mean, anything that was too ubiquitous tends to become the thing that nobody will wear. Like, nobody would go get anywhere near a white John Travolta disco suit, you know, and anywhere near the 80s. And deep into the 90s.
We are speaking with...
It was verboten.
Yes, indeed, with good reason. Cintra Wilson is my guest. Fear and Clothing, Unbuckling American Style is the name of her book. And you can pre-order now at cintrawilson.com, all connected at kgoradio.com. So let's talk about the hipster thing.
Okay.
Okay. How much longer do we have to put up with it? I mean...
Probably forever. Subcultures are important, though. I mean, I think that subcultures are very, very important because they are this act of dissidence that is sort of, you know, doesn't need to include pipe bombs or cyber terrorism. You can express your discontent with the status quo just by, you know, wearing an avant-garde necktie, you know? I mean, and I appreciate hipsterism. I mean,
so do I. You know, it's funny that you said that. At least it's a peaceful movement. I mean, we'll all get through a man bun. Yeah.
I don't like man buns any more than you do.
We agree. Okay.
Right for a man bun to exist.
Whoever decided that? How did that become a thing? I don't know.
Wasn't it sort of a Sikh thing or a George Harrison thing or possibly a Hare Krishna thing or?
I don't know.
Any haircut though or any style that makes your father go ah, you know, is pretty much the thing that's going to be most beloved of that generation.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, when I think of hipsters, I think of the beards and the braids, and I think of skinny jeans. Now, what about skinny jeans? Are they still okay for men?
You know, they have been so popular lately that I think I give them about 5 years before everybody absolutely hates them and goes back to Dockers or something, you know, that are just completely retrograde to whatever that look is.
Now, I know Heather, my old producer, is listening. She just moved on to another show, but I... You know, she would not allow me to wear my Rockin' Republic jeans in here with this metal studs in the back. She just forebode it and said, you know, Drex, you can't do it. It's not allowed.
I disagree. Drex, flaring your
you go,
studded
Heather.
Jeans, all you have to do is pull it off. I mean, Lou Reed, until his death, God bless him, was wearing acid-washed whatever he wanted.
Because, you know, I remember the Rockin' Republic days. You know, those jeans were $300, $350 a pair. And I found a pair that I would never fit into. And now they fit me, and I'm like, Christ, I want to wear them. Yeah.
I don't blame you one bit. And, you know, I think that the only thing you really need to do is stand proudly in those jeans and say, Girl, I am owning this. And then
these studs mean studs.
The bravado to wear it, you know?
That's right. I love you, Cintra Wilson. Okay, when we come back, we'll talk about exciting new fashion trends that are coming up and tips for chicks who have no fashion sense. And I guess that can apply to guys, too. I mean, I think you know it all. Cintra Wilson is our guest. We'll continue coming up on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10.
Talk radio to feed your brain. The Drex Radio Show. Weeknights at 7 on KGO 810.
Yes, it is. Now you're going to be spanked. That's right. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810. Cintra Wilson is my guest, and she is the author. She has a brand new book out, Fear and Clothing, Unbuckling American Style. I call her a fashionista. By the way, it doesn't seem that your book is out yet, is it, Cintra?
Oh, you know what? If you're going by my website is completely not updated at the moment.
Oh, it says early September, so that was 2015.
I lost my web guy.
Oh,
but,
okay.
Yeah, please excuse my website. No, the book is very much out. It's in bookstores, and it's at Amazon. It's been out since October.
Okay. All right, cool. So it's out there, and you can find it. And we'll link everything at KGORadio.com. All right,
that would be great. Yeah. I think it is actually linked up to Amazon, and you can do it through KGO, through my website. But, yeah, it's available. It's findable.
CentraWilson.com. Okay, so let's talk about trends, exciting trends that you see coming.
Exciting trends that I see coming. Yeah. Gumboots for everyone. It's very, very interesting and difficult to be a trend forecaster only because there are so many different subcultures and so many different fashion tribes, as I like to say it, that it's all very disparate. There's like no one it bag that's going to fit the entire world. And that's what I kind of like about fashion right now, is that it is way more focused on the individual. I mean, most of the people that I know who are big designers and other fashion intellects say that the thing that's going to be in more and more is really original stuff, like one-of-a-kind items or vintage stuff. And that really jibes with what I think is cool, too. It's like I think that whenever you have a really personal attachment to something and you wanted this, you customized it, you found it, it is this rare thing and only you have it. And, you know, whether you found it in a thrift store or at Louis Vuitton, as long as it's like really connects with you and you love it and it looks great on you, that's the thing you should be wearing.
I love that you say that because, you know, I'm starting to think about getting new glasses. So I'm thinking I need something bold that makes a statement that, you know, the kind of radio that I do, which is...
I can help you with that. I'm really good at picking out glasses.
See, so I like naughty and outrageous. But, you know, it's one of these things that I think people step back from and they go, is it a little much? Because, but then, you know, that is me. I'm a lot too much.
Isn't it fun, though?
Right.
I mean, you wouldn't trade that for anything. I always encourage people to buy glasses, frames, and shoes that are slightly more exciting than they are.
That's good advice. That is really good advice.
You're going to have to go full Elton John, it sounds like.
I have in the past, but you know, it's the craziest thing. You end up spending like $1,200 for a pair of glasses. Then the prescription changes, and you're screwed.
Oh, God. Yeah, but you can change the lenses.
And
you don't have to change the frame.
I know.
I've been there. I know.
Okay, so let me see. So people who have no fashion sense, I don't know if you want to speak to women. Well, let's speak to both genders. We'll start with women.
Well, okay. I mean, what do you mean? No fashion sense? That's a little bit open-ended. I think everybody's
Crystal's raising her hand here. Right.
I mean, even people who say, I have no fashion sense, I have no idea what I'm wearing, you know, I only wear Beta Breakers t-shirts that, you know, my sister gave me. I mean, even the people who pretend to have no fashion sense whatsoever have very deliberate style. And, you know, even if it's anti-style, they know exactly what they want and what they will and won't wear. I mean, you're not going to get that chick into a taffeta dress or a, you know, Burberry car coat because, you know, the New Balance tennis shoes and the dog walking plastic bag holder is not going to go with it. I mean, everybody's got a style. And I think that the point is to sort of decode yourself in terms of what it is you love and feel comfortable on in and identify with strongly. And then you are free from the tyranny of fashion victimization.
I love that. Yeah, that's very well put.
You.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. Things are different regionally. I mean, I listened to some of your speeches and your talks, and you were talking about, for instance, regional differences. D.C. obviously is uptight. San Francisco is loosey-goosey, so...
A little less so since San Francisco got so much more wealthy. I mean, in the difference between San Francisco now and San Francisco, say, in the early 80s, was that we didn't have the tech industry
right.
Moved in and sort of cleaned everything up in San Francisco to such an alarming degree. There was a lot more subcultural fashion because a lot more poor college students could go get really cheap apartments in the Haight-Ashbury and devote themselves to motorcycles and black T-shirts.
Right on. I mean, you know, I've been here for a year, so one of the fun things, and I know it looks ridiculous, and I don't see anybody else in the building doing it, was, I was so happy to be in San Francisco that I wear a lanyard all the time. because I just feel like I've been waiting to be part of the Bay, and that's just part of the deal.
Now, when you say lanyard, do you mean one of those sort of nylon cords that you wear around your neck at conventions?
Yes, so I can get in and out of the security door.
I see. Well, yeah, that'll do you good at Burning Man, too, from what I understand.
I could hide my acid on the other side of it or something.
Yeah. I hear it's getting very exclusive over there in the desert.
I know, right? Yeah, it's just kind of crazy. All right, so, I mean, there's obvious things, but, you know, guys tend to, I don't know, do you think be conservative as they get older and kind of stick to the same thing?
I mean, want to hear a theory that I have, and you can help me by supporting it or telling me I'm dead wrong. I have a theory that men tend to wear the cut of jeans that was whatever the cut of jeans was when they first got sex. Like, whenever they became non-virgins, whatever that style of jeans was, they stick with it their whole lives, unless some woman comes along and changes it.
Holy crap. Well, I'm glad that I'm not doing that because I'd be wearing bell bottoms.
Oh, ow. Okay,
that
well,
would
there's
be
some
an
things
ouch.
You just can't wear.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, no, that's.
You know, if it was probably okay to wear bell bottoms, do you think that you might want to secretly?
I might want to, yeah. But you know what seems to be, and I don't even know what the brand of these are. You get them at Needless Markup, but, you know, they're tailored and you just can wear them every day. You get three pair and just kind of rotate them around. I don't know. Are jeans forever with guys? I mean, it seems they are, and it's safe.
Oh, sure. Menswear, people always complain that, you know, men don't have enough fashion options. I just think men should give themselves a lot more freedom, really, in general. I mean,
yeah. Well,
if there's one thing we can all learn from RuPaul is that a kilt looks good on anyone, you know.
Amen. And I'm so glad, you know, one of the things that is going on, and it happens, you know, for instance, in this building, in our business, that you're allowed to pretty much wear whatever you want, and nobody calls you out on it. So if you're this kind of person, clothing-wise, you're that kind of person, and you're allowed to do it. So it really is unbuckling American style, exactly to your point. And, you know, and I think that's fantastic.
Well, thank you so very much. No, there's a lot of ways to empower yourself through fashion, and there's no rules, really. I mean, there's no way to do that wrongly. If what you're wearing makes you feel more fabulous, more star-like, more like yourself, and more ready to go out and kick the world in the culottes, then more power to you.
Oh, God, culottes, please. Not so impressed with luxury brands, are you?
I just don't think they're as important to fashion as people seem to think that they are. I mean, there is a certain magic that is conferred by luxury brands. Like, people somehow feel more secure if they're wearing a Prada garment or a Gucci garment. But, I mean, I think that if you can find that cut, it really doesn't matter who made it. I mean, it's about identifying the thing that you like to wear and what looks good on you and the kind of drape and, you know, the kind of fabrics that you like. And then find the knockoff, for God's sakes. I mean, nobody's got the money to buy those things off the rack,
yeah,
really.
Good, good for you. I mean, because I have some ugly thing that I paid way too much for, Louis Vuitton, and it's white and it has a coffee stain on it, and I still have it because I'm afraid to give it up. Because I'm sure I was
you
drunk.
You can
and
rock that coffee stain proudly, I think.
God love you, Sandra Wilson. Okay. All right. I've got to wrap things up, but Sandra Wilson is my guest. The book is Fear and Clothing, Unbuckling American Style, and you can find it at KGORadio.com. Go to Sandra Wilson, CINTRAWilson.com. Thank you very much. God bless you, girl, and continued success.
Thank you, Drex. A real pleasure talking to you.
All right.
Keep
fantastic.
Keep rocking those rockin' republics.
You got it. Studs tomorrow. I love it. All right. We'll be back. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10.
Talk radio to feed your brain. The Drex Radio Show. Weeknights at 7 on KGO 810.
Zach, yes? Good enough for me. All right, well then, we have a special invitation for you and a guest to see the Zach Brown Band. How about that? At the Shoreline Amphitheater on Friday, June 3rd. Tickets go on sale tomorrow. No. See, look at me. I'm thinking tomorrow's going to be Friday. No, but this Friday they go on sale at 10 a.m. at LiveNation.com. But you can win yours right now by being caller number 10. That's right. I'm going to give you a pair of tickets. Don't call unless you're going to go. Say that right now. Yeah, there we go, Zach Brown. Okay, caller 10, and we will give you a pair of tickets to see the Zach Brown Band at the Shoreline June 3rd. You know, well, I'm a chicken fried. Nice. 808-0810 is the number. Oh, this is Zach Brown, for sure. Fit just right, and the radio world. 808-0810. Speaking of country music, Blake Shelton is putting out his own brand of vodka. Hey, why not? I mean, you know, if it's cool to do in the rap world, why not do it in country? Smart move. Would you buy vodka from a man from Arkansas? Yes, why not? He's hoping you will because he's coming out with his own brand of vodka called Smithworks. It's made from corn from Kansas, Missouri, and Oklahoma, and water from Lake Smith, Arkansas.
Shouldn't he have bourbon or whiskey?
That's what I was thinking, but I don't know vodka. Thank you, Ryan. I think it's one of those, you know, like I'm saying, if the rapper guys can do this, why not do something completely upside down, like how dare Blake Shelton have his own vodka line?
Touché.
Yeah, right on. So as he said, his pitch is, as part of the Smithworks family, I've been involved in the development of the brand, and I'm excited for everyone to finally taste what they've been, what we've been crafting. And it's only available for limited markets, but I'm sure we'll be one of them. If you need your Blake Shelton vodka, and I'm sure Lobertini on Shaken Not Stirred will have some of that. Okay, we're going to talk to him at the top of the hour about the dude who just came back from space. You know, he grew 2 inches in space.
That is insane.
I know, right? So if he grew 2 inches in space, he was up there for 2 years, you got to think gravity's going to play hell on him, right?
Right.
I mean, yeah, that's
going to...
Yeah. That's encouraged on our ability to go.
Okay, I don't know what that is.
We're encouraged.
Oh, we're encouraged. Okay, well, I encourage him to rest for a while before he starts walking around. Gravity can be a bitch when you don't have any for 2 years. Just saying. Okay, several different things here. Jennifer Garner, there's this children's book out. This is for Vanity Fair. Do I have this right? What is this all about? it's a joke, obviously. It's Go the F to Sleep. Okay, so here's Jennifer reading the book. Samuel L. Jackson reads a passage from the children's book also. But let's hear Jennifer Garner.
The cats nestle close to their kittens. The lambs have lain down with their sheep. You're cozy and warm in your bed, my dear. Now, go the f*** to sleep. The windows are dark in the town, child. The whales huddle down in the deep. I'll read you one very last book if you swear you'll go the f*** to sleep. The eagles who soar through the sky are at rest, and the creatures who crawl, run, and creep. I know you're not thirsty. That's bullshit. Stop lying. Lie the down, my darling, and sleep. The wind whispers soft through the grass, hun. The field mice, they make not a peep. It's been 38 minutes already. Jesus Christ, what the f***? Go to sleep. All the kids from daycare are in dreamland. The froggy has made his last leap. Hell no, you can't go to the bathroom. You know where you can go? The f*** to sleep. The owls fly forth from the treetops. Through the air they soar and they sweep. A hot crimson rage fills my heart, love. For real, shut the f*** up and sleep. Oh, the cubs and lions are snoring, wrapped in a big snuggly heap. How come you can do all this other great f***? But you can't lie the f*** down and sleep. The end.
I guess that's what parents...
Night.
Good night. Yeah. Amen. I guess that's from a 2011 book by Adam Mansbach. But you know, why they were reading it, I don't know why. I'm afraid to even listen to... I only want to play the short version of Samuel L. Jackson. Can you imagine?
All the kids from daycare are in dreamland. The froggy has made his last leap. Hell no, you can't go to the bathroom. You know where you can go? The f*** to sleep.
All right. So it's been around since 2011, and I guess, I don't know if they were standing outside the Academy Awards getting people to read these things. I will tell you one thing that's coming up here. They got a bunch of celebrities to read Kanye West's insane tweets, and that's a lot of fun. Kate Hudson, Whoopi Goldberg, Patrick Stewart, Michael Strahan, all on the way. All right. So, and then the other thing I'm wondering, Jennifer Garner, you know, she's going through this divorce with Ben Affleck. What is going on with the two of them? She's reading that damn book. And then he, okay, you want to, I'll tell you what, pop me down here because I'm going to click on something that might start playing audio. Let me see. Did you see this? What is going on with Ben Affleck? Is it are they getting divorced? I hear they're getting divorced, right? What is he doing? So Jennifer Lopez has a tip for Ben Affleck. Think before you ink. Yes. So he was on, let me see. She was on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen, and she disapproves of Affleck's huge Phoenix back tattoo. It's awful. What are you doing? She said during the Plead the Fifth segment. I mean, I would tell him, what are you doing? It has too many colors. His tattoos have way too many colors. Shouldn't be that colorful. You know what I mean? But it takes up his whole back. And apparently he just got this. No offense to anybody with tats, but this guy's 43 and it's his entire back. So I guess the talk and chatter is yes, they can cover it up, you know, when he does whatever he does, scenes, as long as he's not playing. I don't know. He played Batman. Well, he's Batman. Oh, Batman. Yes, Batman v Superman. Jesus. So how many hours did it take to cover that damn thing up? Guess he, which role is he playing? Is he playing Batman? Maybe that's why he has the angel wings. They're Phoenix wings. It doesn't make any sense to me.
It's going to be a lot of spray tan to cover that.
I don't know, man. Okay. All right. Well, everybody's going bat crap crazy in Hollywood. Why not? Oh, and speaking of crazy, where's my possession story? I love this. Teen possessed by devil suffers violent convulsions in church after threatening to kill mother. So this is probably just ridiculous. It's news of the ridiculous. A teenager has, and obviously I don't love anybody, you know, I don't love possession by the devil. I'm just saying I love this trashy news. You know what I'm saying. A teenager, by the way, we have our winner for the Zac Brown Band. Thank you very much. You can stop calling now. A teenager feared to be possessed by the devil, dropped to the floor, and had devil-like convulsions after she was taken to the church. The parents of the Honduran girl are now desperately asking to rid their daughter of these evil spirits. This is what they say the evil spirits sound like. Okay, go ahead. Play that. Oh my God. Well, that did sound possessed. The mother of the teenager said the girl had left her a note to grab a knife and kill her. What? Oh, wow. She also revealed that she has to tie her daughter down as she sleeps, according to the La Prensa news site. Her father said, I'm surprised. I don't know what happened to my daughter. A family has now asked for pastors of evangelical churches to come to their house and pray for their daughter. Well, I hope so. Pray for the whole family. What is going on there? Wow. So, you know what? Everything's okay, Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner. You're completely normal compared to that mess. You know, I've been seeing, have you noticed, because if you look at social media crazy time like I do, and you probably do, or you wouldn't be listening to this show, you've been seeing all these possession stories lately. You know, exorcisms, drexorcisms, possessions. I don't know what's going on. It's becoming a fashionable thing. We should have asked Central Wilson about that. The devil is in play. The devil is in the details. Speaking of that. Yeah, so Adele helped a woman propose to her girlfriend at a gig in Ireland. Wait till you hear this story. Ex-Subway spokesperson, yes, spokesman Gerald Fogel is gaining back all of his weight in prison. Shall I make the joke now or should I make you wait? I'll make you wait. That's coming up next on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10.
Talk radio to feed your brain. The Drex Radio Show, weeknights at 7 on KGOA 10.
11 more days until daylight saving time. Yes, I said saving and not savings. I wasn't doing my Midwest thing. I've been busted on that so many times. So 11 more days. Thank God. I'm ready for it, right? 15 more days until St. Paddy's Day and 25 more days until Easter. And then you can get back to your naughty habits, whatever you gave up for Lent. And if you're listening to the show, you didn't give up crap, so don't try to play that game with me.
This year, as you know, Super Tuesday, this year only will be followed by Horrified Wednesday, so...
Yes, and I am horrified. I have to tell you why, so not only that demon possession story that I played, but also back to Ben Affleck's tattoo for a second. So that's just all midlife crisis BS because he's 43 and he's getting a divorce from Jennifer Garner, who's reading very mouthy, foul-mouthed children's books outside of the Oscars. What the hell? And he's going to be in Batman v Superman. And by the way, I wanted to play Kimmel because they did this great bit. You know, Kimmel and Damon have been going at it forever. Every night, oh, we didn't have time for Matt Damon. Well, this has been going on with his previous show. So he came out the other night. The only reason I didn't play it or I'm not playing it is because it's a visual effect. Ben Affleck came out as a super fat guy. And in that super fat guy was Matt Damon, which was hysterical. So I don't know if that ends the feud or not. I mean, it's a fun made-up feud, but nonetheless. Okay. All right. Let's move on. Ex-Subway spokesman Jared Fogle gained back all that weight while in prison. Well, then. Back in November, Jared Fogle, whose 200-pound weight loss story became Subway's spotlight ad campaign for more than a decade, was sentenced to 15 years and 8 months in prison for possessing child pornography and having sex with a minor. Now, just after 3 months into his sentence, he has gained back all of those hefty pounds. And I guess he doesn't have to pay $6 for that footlong. You knew where I was going. Okay. And by the way, it used to be $5. Now it's a $6 foot long. Not for him. They call him Como, which is short for child molester, and he's being regularly taunted. You know, I think he's asking for a retrial or something, but good luck with that, pal. All right. What do you think about this? Millions of female workers deal with period pain during their monthly cycle, and most employers just ignore it. But one company in the UK has finally recognized that working while doubled over in pain isn't the most efficient way to use their staff time. And they're allowing women to build their cycles into their work schedules. So they're not the only, the UK is not the only place where menstrual leave is a thing. It has been implemented in Japan, Indonesia, and South Korea. So don't be surprised when it hits San Francisco very shortly. I think this is one of these things that men are not allowed to have an ass opinion about. I'm thinking, Ryan, Crystal, yeah, I don't think you get to have an opinion about this. I really think that when this is brought up in the boardroom, men are going to have to shut their mouths.
They might have to.
But yeah. If they get a day off, when do we get a day off for?
You know what? That's called hangover.
No.
And you don't get a day off for that.
No.
Sorry. I was just trying to think, what is the closest thing that might be acceptable to compare to a
prostate.
Woman's hangover? Oh, okay. See, now.
How about that?
Yeah.
You can get whatever you want for your prostate. Not whatever.
Okay. Well, you know, I had a perforated duodenal, and that got me 122 days off, so,
ooh.
Yeah.
You didn't want.
Now, I have to tell you, that I don't want, and I can't fix that. It's too late.
No,
I'm stuck with it now. But here's the deal with the menstrual leave. You have to make up the time.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, that's fair, right? So,
if you would
take, like, a Thursday off, would you come in and work Saturday?
It would suck, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Again, what are guys supposed to say? You're stuck here, and I swear, you know this is going to be the first place in the United States where this is discussed, menstrual leave.
Probably,
oh, yeah.
Ryan, you're like...
No, what? It's just like, if I don't feel good some days, I still have to go to work, no matter
what.
Oh, see, that is the misogynistic pig.
No,
yes,
it's not like that, though. It's not like that. I mean... If I had those pains, I still have to go to work. If you have to be somewhere, you have to be somewhere.
Well, that's what I said about the hangover, you know, who wants to go to work when they're hungover. But that's your own fault. Now,
right.
It's not a woman's fault if she's menstruating.
No, and when you first said it to me, I was like, oh, my gosh, that's ridiculous. That's what sick leave is for. But on the other hand, I do know a lot of women who have
really
serious
bad, really
issues.
Bad, right.
And that might help them. I mean, because it's not, I don't know. I'm so torn on the issue.
Okay, everybody. So be the first to bring it up to your HR department and then call the Drex Radio Show and tell me what kind of mayhem you caused in your company and corporation. Because if it's filled with a bunch of tech dudes, what can they say? They can't say a damn thing.
Most of the tech dudes probably wouldn't know what it is.
Oh, my God.
They're like, what?
Most of those tech dudes are constantly having their period 24/7, so they wouldn't know the difference. Yes. Twatter on that. Swat that one out. Okay. Oh, my God. Okay, let's just switch gears here. 1 in 4 people have used a sick day to take care of a pet. All right. Look, I know it's a fine American tradition to take fake sick days, but, you know, I think, do you still feel guilty? I don't know. So while we're talking about menstrual leave, a new survey found that almost 1 out of 4 people have used a sick day to take care of their pet. And that's the only time we're putting, you know, we put a weirdly high priority on our pet's health. Really? If you have a dog, no, I don't think so. I'm not buying that. This story is by MultiView. So the survey also found that that people take their pets to the vet as frequently as they go to the doctor themselves. No, I'd say more. Mm-hmm. And they're more likely to buy organic pet food than organic human food. That would be applicable to anywhere else in the country except here. And then, this is from the Daily Mail. They did this research. Well, they didn't do it, but they did this story on it. Dogs are really man's and woman's best friends. Scans reveal the area of the brain that lights up when canines recognize human faces. So researchers used MRIs to examine the brains of dogs. This is really cool. So the dogs were shown photographs of 50 unfamiliar human faces of both genders with a neutral expression extracted, as well as 50 everyday objects. Scans revealed the temporal cortex is used to process human faces, all right? Study describes this region as being the pillar of social cognition in dogs. So for tens of thousands of years, dogs have been man's best friend and women's best friend, paying close attention to our faces to read our emotions and form a long-lasting, you know, bond. Now, they have pinpointed the specific region of a dog's brain that enables them to form such a strong connection. By placing the dogs in the scanners, they found the temporal cortex processes human faces and is the pillar of social cognition in dogs. How cool is that?
That's pretty cool.
My dog is
missing that piece.
You know what? Oh, you're a dumb dog?
He's pretty dumb.
Oh, okay. Doesn't that suck? I mean, when you have a great dog and it lives for 15, 16, 17 years, and then you get an idiot. I mean, you know, and then you're stuck with it's like, oh, hell.
He's adorable, though.
I know. Well, good for you. Like, we have a really great dog, and I'm going to miss her so bad. But she's young still. But I'm just saying, when it happens, it's horrific.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm like, where is it
and
going?
Because you don't know. You could end up with a really stupid dog. And then it's like, oh, what the hell? Now I'm stuck with this thing. And you are stuck with it, by the way. All right, be nice. Well, anyway, let's take a break and we'll come back. And we're going to go to space. Well, actually, we're going to go from outer space back down to space with John Lobertini on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.